AFR app is a powerful tool, but it does have limitations. You can't use it to change the oil in your vehicle or get rid of carpet stains. It won't walk the dog, won't pick up the dry cleaning, or take the kids to practice. But while you're doing those things, you can listen to your favorite AFR content through the app on your phone, smart device, or Roku. Just go to your app store or visit AFR.net. Listen to AFR wherever you go with the AFR app.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, not quite, but I am happy to stand in for him or sit in for him, as it truly is. Pastor Jeff's a great friend of mine, great man of God, and it's my honor to sit behind the microphone in his behalf until he gets back. So this is Bishop E.W. Jackson with you today. We got a lot to talk about. Let's get right to it. Before I do anything else, I want to honor the 13 fallen heroes of this Iran conflict, this Iran action that our country is engaged in. I hesitate to even call it a war because I don't think it's going to last long enough to even be designated as such. I think the president is going to make quick work of this if we'll just give him some leeway and show some patience and some loyalty. I think he's going to get the job done. I have that much confidence in him. But I want to honor these 13 heroes. I'm going to take a moment to do that. Major John A. Klinner, 33, formerly of Auburn, Alabama. Captain Ariana Savino, 31, resident of Covington, Washington. Tech Sergeant Ashley Pruitt, 34, of Bardstown, Kentucky. Captain Seth Koval, 38, of Stoutsville, Ohio. Captain Curtis Anks, 30, of Columbus, Ohio. Tech Sergeant Tyler Simmons, 28, of Columbus, Ohio. Sergeant Benjamin Pennington, 26, of Glendale, Kentucky. Major Jeffrey O'Brien, resident of Waukee, Iowa. Chief Warrant Officer 3rd, Robert Marzan, 54, of Sacramento, California. Sergeant 1st Class Nicole Armour, 39, of White Bear Lake, Minnesota. Sergeant Declan Cody, 20, from Des Moines, Iowa. Captain Cody Cork, of Winter Haven, Florida. Sergeant 1st Class Noah Tietjens, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, 42, of Bellevue, Nebraska. We honor these fallen heroes and thank them for their service. They really are the best among us. They've given what Abraham Lincoln called the last full measure of devotion, and we're grateful to them for it. We pray for their families. They have gone on to their great reward. But their families are left to mourn. But I'll tell you what, they have a memory and a legacy that can never be questioned. Because Jesus said, greater love has no one than this than to lay down his life for his friends. And when you put on that uniform, you commit to being willing to go into harm's way. And we know that many have taken that oath, put on that uniform, did their duty, and never came home. And God bless these 13. Okay, I want to mention to you all that this coming Saturday, for those of you who are in Virginia, particularly Southeast Virginia, or anywhere near Southeast Virginia, or know people in Southeast Virginia, encourage them to come. But for the rest of you, pray for us. We're calling this the Emergency Virginia Conservative Leadership Summit. The Emergency Virginia Conservative Leadership Summit. Folks, we're in an emergency in Virginia. We really are. We are witnessing the equivalent of a political coup. These folks are running asking for a vote on April 21st, a yes vote for something they call fair elections. But what they really mean is the right to redistrict Virginia to produce 10 Democrat seats and one Republican seat. They're presently five. They want to do away with four of the five. And the only reason why they're leaving the one is just as a token. That's all. They're trying to turn Virginia into a one-party state. Well, that's what communists always do, right? And that's exactly what they're trying to do. They've done it in California. They've done it in Massachusetts. They've done it in Vermont. They've done it in Illinois. That's what they do. They want total hegemony, total control over everything and everybody. These are totalitarianists. Make no mistake about it. They would never use that word, and they would never admit that. But when they use the word democracy, what they really mean is, if we can, by virtue of a single vote more than half, get in power, we will do whatever we want to do. Now, here in Virginia, I'm sure you all know, we had a $2.7 billion surplus under former Governor Glenn Youngkin. $2.7 billion surplus, folks. The Democrats come in and they want to raise $6.7 billion in taxes. They've come up with 50 new taxes. They want to enshrine in the Constitution the right to have an abortion, or let's not euphemize it, the right to kill an unborn baby up to the moment before birth. I just saw in my Instagram feed a little earlier all these cases of these women who are having babies in their toilets and allowing the babies to lay there and die or drown, discarding the babies, burying the babies, getting rid of the babies. And the question is, well, what? How should they be charged? Well, the question ought to be, what's the difference between that and simply killing the baby just before it's born? What's the difference? Well, there really is no difference. They're both murder. But this is what they want. They want it in our Constitution. They want to put in our Constitution. They want to enshrine homosexual marriage in our Constitution. It's not enough that the Supreme Court has legalized that abomination. They want to put it in the Virginia Constitution. They want to limit magazines. How many rounds can you have in a magazine? They are going to completely ban everything they call assault weapons, which certainly includes the AR-15, certainly includes any platform that has, you know, an attachable magazine that carries more than 15 rounds, the AK-47 style weapons, semi-automatic shotguns. I happen to have one, as a matter of fact. I love that thing too, by the way, folks. Oh boy, that thing is a lot of fun. An M12 shotgun. That becomes an illegal assault weapon. My M12 has never assaulted anybody. All it's ever done is been used for target practice and for me to have recreational fun shooting. But oh no. No, now you become an outlaw. Now they're talking about trying to grandfather in all the people who have these weapons already. But get this, folks. This is diabolical. But, if you have the weapon, you must show proof of when you purchased it, that you purchased it prior to the law being changed. Now, how many people have receipts for the weapons they bought and when they bought them? I mean, just think about that. So really, they can turn you into an outlaw anyway by simply saying, well, you don't have any proof that you owned it, so you've got to either confiscate it or perhaps go to jail. I mean, this stuff is, folks, it gets deep. With this upcoming summit, we've got Philip Van Cleef, who is the head of the Virginia Civil Defense League and a major, one of the leading Second Amendment proponents here in Virginia. We have Congresswoman Jen Kiggins, who is the congresswoman from the 2nd District, which is where we're going to be having the event. 943 Canal Drive in Chesapeake, Virginia. My church is where we're having it. It's not a church event. The sponsor is simply renting our church to host it, because obviously it was easy to get because it's me. But she's going to be speaking. Representative from the Family Foundation, they've been working for years to try to affect legislation to protect the lives of unborn children and protect family values here in Virginia. They're going to be there. Nelson Velez, who is one of the top, if not the top, Tea Party leader in the Commonwealth of Virginia, is going to be there speaking. And we're going to have a panel discussion to close it out after we've heard from these speakers. We're only planning it to run a couple of hours, 2.5 hours maybe at the most. But we want to end with the panel discussion so we hear from the audience. I think I may have said to you folks, we need a strategy. You know what? I talked about this on my podcast. Don't forget, I do have a podcast on AFR. It was posted yesterday morning. Be sure to check it out. But I said we need a fundraising strategy, a grassroots strategy, and a messaging strategy. But all of those need to be built on a foundation of a spiritual strategy, a prayer, commitment to the Word of God, doing things righteously before Him with honor, with integrity, with love, even for those that we don't agree with and for those who hate us. Now, we're going to fight them now. Don't get me wrong. But it's not with hatred. It's love for our country that motivates us, not hatred for those people. Now, do I hate their ideas? Oh, you better believe it, and I don't apologize for it, because the Word of God commands me to. And the Word of God says God hates lying and God hates falsehood. And He tells us that we're supposed to hate falsehood. I think this is where so many Christians make a big mistake. They embrace the positive side, which is loving people, seek and save that which was lost. But they don't like embracing the negative side, which is destroy the works of the devil. That's just as much a part of Christianity as seeking and saving that which was lost. You don't get one side without the other. Those are two sides of the same coin. But see, the sweetness and cream part of seeking and saving what was lost, even people get offended by that too. But, you know, that sounds nice. That sounds friendly. But destroy the works of the devil. Ooh, now, wait a minute, Bishop Jackson, you're getting a little aggressive there. But that's what we're called to do. You know, I'm convinced, folks, I don't want to get into a theological discussion here. And by the way, in the last segment, I'm going to take your calls, so stand by for that. But, you know, I'm convinced of this. Did you know that the word Christian in the Bible is only mentioned three times? In the New Covenant, not mentioned in the Old Covenant at all. In the New Covenant, it's only mentioned three times. It's mentioned once by the people of Antioch. You hear them say they started calling us Christians. It didn't say Christians started calling themselves that, since the people of Antioch did. Once by, I think it was Festus, who when Paul preached a message and Festus said, Paul, you almost persuade me to be a Christian. And he wasn't a Christian, but he was using that word. And then Peter says it in his first book. He says, if any of you suffer as a Christian. Those are the only three times the word is mentioned. You know how we refer to most in the Bible? Disciples of Jesus Christ, children of God, and saints of God. You know, I think we need to start giving that as much emphasis as we give the designation Christian. Because I tell you something, a lot of people I've met who call themselves Christians, folks, I wouldn't put my life on the line for their Christianity. But if you're a disciple of Jesus Christ, that means you've been taught by the Master and you think like Him, you speak like Him, you move like Him. If you're a saint of God, that means you've been set aside. Come out from among them, be separate, touch not the unclean thing. I will receive you, says the Lord, and I will be a father to you, and you be my sons and daughters. You're a saint of God. That word saint is the same word that we translate holy, hagios. It means you are a holy one. You've been set apart. And children of God, that means God is our Father. We're not just His servants. We're His children. We are in a love relationship with Him. We have loyalty to Him because we love Him. We love Him because He first loved us. Now, frankly, that's a pretty good definition of what a true Christian really ought to be, right? This is E.W. Jackson in for Pastor Jeff Shreve. Stand by. We'll be back in just a moment.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Well, let me correct myself, because I often get Felix, Festus, Agrippa. I get them all mixed up. It was actually King Agrippa who said to the Apostle Paul in Acts 26:28, "You almost persuade me to become a Christian." Festus was in on that meeting, but he's not the one who said it. It was King Agrippa who said it. So that's one time. The other time was 1 Peter 4:16, where Peter says, "If anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter." Now, those are the only two times, other than the Bible says it was in Antioch where they first came to be called Christians. And it wasn't followers of Jesus Christ calling themselves that. It was the people of Antioch who were calling them Christians. Says the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. The disciples, say they call themselves, this is of course Luke writing this, said they call themselves disciples, but the people of Antioch call them Christians. Now, I'm not denigrating the word Christian, so please don't take that meaning. I'm not saying that. All I'm saying is we ought to give some emphasis to how the Bible designates us. And clearly, Christian is not the main designation that the Bible uses. It is disciple, saint, and child of God. And frankly, the disciples, the saints, and the children of God are going to need to rise up in this country in faith. I'm going to talk about the fact that I think I mentioned this to you already before, but we need a messaging, we need a money strategy, raising money. We need a messaging strategy, and we need a grassroots strategy, mobilization strategy, money, mobilization, and messaging. All of that, though, has to be built on a spiritual strategy of prayer and the word of God and faithfulness to him and adherence to him, because he's the only one who's going to get us out of this mess. Because I hope you all realize we are in a mess right now. Thank God for President Trump, because I can't imagine. I don't even want to contemplate the nightmare of what it would be like if Kamala Harris were president of the United States. I mean, that to me is worse than the most frightening horror movie that anybody could ever make. You know, Return of the Zombies in Drag or something. I mean, I don't know, but man, that would be horrific. But just because President Trump's in office doesn't mean that this spiritual and cultural battle we are in is over or decided or won, because it's not. They are not resting. You can see from what we're facing here in Virginia, and of course, you know, they want the same thing for the entire country. I say, who would have thought that Georgia would have two far left liberal U.S. senators? But that's what they've got in Georgia, which was one of the reddest of red states 5 or 10 years ago. And so we have got a job to do. Now, let me get to a couple of other issues. And next segment, we're going to start taking your phone calls, and feel free to raise any issue, because I'm not going to be able to get to most of the issues that need to be raised. But I do want to point out something that I just had a revelation on this very morning. You know, I've talked about the demonic forces at work in our culture. I've dubbed the Democrats Demoncrats, because everything they are for, God is against, and everything God is against, they are for. But something hit me this morning. You know, I've talked about the connection between this sort of sexual deviancy movement and people on the left. And it suddenly hit me, you know, it is not just a sort of coincidental intersection, but it is really part of who they are. Because when you reject God's standards of morality, then you become open to every demonic thing that Satan can push on you. Did you know, for example, you remember that when Charlie Kirk got assassinated, a lot of people lost their jobs because they got on, went online and said terrible things about the death of Charlie Kirk, and you know, celebrated this vicious assassination. Well, one of the people who did that was a guy who was a principal in Oregon. He got suspended for posting things celebrating, a principal now, for celebrating the death of Charlie Kirk. He got suspended. Well, guess what? That same principal is now going to jail for trafficking in child pornography. Jeremy P. Williams, former principal of Rainier Junior Senior High School in Columbia County, Oregon. He has now been convicted and is heading to prison for trafficking in child pornography. The very guy who got suspended for denouncing Charlie Kirk. See what I mean? This is who they are. See, because once you reject God's standard, you create a vacuum for Satan to pour in every vile thing imaginable. And by the way, when I say that, I am not saying that anybody, because Jesus is the only one, has lived up to all the standards that God has set for us. But here's the difference. When you accept that as the standard, and you know that you have deviated from it, you can repent and say, Lord, forgive me. I should not have said that. I should not have done that. I should not be thinking that way. Help me, Lord. Help me to get my life in order the way you would have it be. You see? So what do? You ask God's help. You self-correct. The word repent in the New Testament, metanoia, it means to change one's mind or to turn one's mind. You turn in God's direction. So you are constantly self-correcting. It's like an airplane. You all know this, right? Airplanes don't fly in a straight line. There is constant course correction for an airplane in order for it to stay on course. It's not flying in a straight line. It's flying along you could call it a straight trajectory in terms of where it's going. But it's in and out of that trajectory, because it's impossible for the plane to fly in a straight line. You have wind, you have weather conditions, conditions where the air is warmer and you get more turbulence and you have to adjust for that. So the plane is constantly adjusting, but the destination remains the same. See, and that's true for us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not arguing that I'm perfect. Lord knows I'm not. Or that you or anybody else is. But the standards don't change just because we aren't perfect at fulfilling them. And we constantly come back to those standards. I've said the same thing about our Declaration of Independence. Said, no, we have not fully lived up to everything that our country represents. But those standards that were set by our founding fathers has spoken to the consciences of the American people, and we have constantly self-corrected to bring ourselves into line with who we said we were from the beginning. At least we've got standards. The left wants to rip those standards away. They want to replace them with their own whims and wishes and feelings and folks, that can only lead to one place, into the abyss. And that is exactly where they would like to take our country. Cesar Chavez, you all remember him? Cesar Chavez was the darling of the migrant farm workers movement. Oh, my goodness. He was like a god. Now we are learning that he was constantly abusing underage girls, summoning them to his hotel room, 12, 13, 14 years old, and using them sexually and telling them, oh, well, I'm lonely and it's your job to come and comfort me. Kids. the man was a pedophile. But look, the left loved him. And I guarantee a lot of those people knew exactly what he was doing. And remember Roman Polanski? Roman Polanski was convicted of raping a 13-year-old girl. And he entered into a relationship with Natasha Kinski when she was 15 years old. And he was 43, I think. 42, 43. And Hollywood stood beside him and, oh, they lauded him. Oh, he's a great man. He's a good man. You know why? Because that's the way they want to live too. They want to live without standards. They want to live without any godly morality at all in their lives. And so it's easy for them to stand behind a reprobate like him. Of course, he escaped to Europe and never served the time, but he was probably facing a very lengthy prison sentence for having raped that girl. But Hollywood was absolutely right there for him. Oh, we love Roman. Roman's a great man. Da, 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 da. See, that's where the left is. You can't separate their politics from their sexual and moral predispositions. That's why they celebrate killing unborn babies. That's why they celebrate men with men and women with women, as the Bible says, doing those things that are unseemly or not convenient, not right. That's what they want for the entire country, folks. Did you know Colorado, thank God the people of Colorado defeated it. Christians rose up, but Colorado was trying to legalize prostitution for the whole state. They wanted to make Colorado, they wanted Colorado to be known as the prostitution state. I kid you not. That's what they were going for. Because that's the way they want to live. That's who they are. You know, Canada right now, some people in Canada are organizing a big, they're calling it a star-studded event for the Palestinians against Israel. You know who's heading it up? Drag queens. Oh, yeah, yeah. They're having it at the Drag Queen Theater. It's going to be featuring the drag queens. You see what I'm getting at here? That when I say it's a demonic cult, folks, it is not. It's not an ad hominem. I'm not just trying to be nasty or to be ugly or to be mean. I am really trying to objectively state what these people have truly come to represent and who they truly are. We need, Lord knows, we need a strategy for turning this situation around, because this is what they want for the United States of America. They want us to be a reprobate nation. Instead of being a nation whose God is the Lord, they want us to be a nation whose God is the devil. And I do not believe that that is an overstatement in any way whatsoever. Now, let me say a couple things then about the Iran war. When we come back from the break, which we'll come to here shortly, I'll start taking your calls. The number is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. Look, I really believe that President Trump is going to wrap this thing up quickly. And frankly, I believe he's earned that level of trust from the American people. Every true red-blooded American is a skeptic of government. We ought to be. I think our founding fathers were. I think that's why they built all of the checks and balances, because they were very skeptical about government and about what it can do and about its abuse of power. But I really believe that President Trump has earned the trust of the American people by doing what he says he's going to do, and he has done it every single time. I cannot think of a substantive situation in which the president has said, I'm going to do this, and then he doesn't do it. The president has said, we're going to wrap this up quickly. I believe he's going to wrap it up quickly. I do not believe we're going to be engaged in an extended war in Iran, boots on the ground, hundreds and thousands of Americans killed in this conflict. I don't believe that that's what's going to happen. I believe the president's going to figure out where these drones are coming from. I think he's going to figure out the last strongholds of this regime, and I think they're going to destroy it. Now, I hope the people of Iran will rise up and throw off this regime and say, we're not going to have another repeat. We're going to now have some kind of free society. Maybe culturally, maybe it's Islamic, but it's not going to be governed by Sharia law, and we're not going to have women. Women can't drive, and women are not allowed to have an education, and women can't be seen outside alone, and all this nonsense that they've come up that, you know, that Sharia law imposes. I mean, they're really trying to impose the 1,000 years of the past upon the present. This is Bishop E.W. Jackson in for Pastor Jeff Shreve. Stand by, folks. Coming back shortly.
This June marks 3 years since the overturn of Roe, but did you know that since then, the number of abortions has surged to a 10-year high? Preborn Network clinics continue to support women facing unplanned pregnancies, showering them with God's love and providing free ultrasounds. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, she's twice as likely to choose life.
It was like the beginning of my healing journey. They do an ultrasound. That's when everything changed. When I saw my baby and when I heard her heartbeat, that was it.
$28 sponsors one ultrasound and $140 helps to rescue 5 babies. Your generous tax-deductible donation also helps to provide women who choose life with assistance for up to 2 years. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or visit preborn.com/AFR.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Well, again, this is E.W. Jackson in for Pastor Jeff. The number is 888-589-8840. I want to start taking your calls. That's 888-589-8840. We've got a few open lines still. Standby callers, I'll come right to you. Let me just put a pin in this, though. In drawing this relationship between this whole sexual deviancy and the politics of the left having rejected God's standards, you all know that there's a kid, 19-year-old kid, who was arrested for assaulting 9 different girls in Fairfax County schools. Now, the Fairfax County Commonwealth Attorney recommended to the judge that he be released without bail. I kid you not. He assaulted 9 different girls. He was arrested. The Commonwealth Attorney for Fairfax County said, well, let's not keep him in jail, Your Honor. We just let him out. Thank God the judge said, This kid's obviously dangerous. No, 19 years old. No, we're not letting him out. But get this, the school department said, well, when he is let out, he can come back to school. What? Yeah, he can come back to school. ICE says, please, don't release him. Turn him over to us. He is a subject to deportation. He is an illegal alien. And once again, Fairfax County said, nope, we're not turning him over to ICE. No. Now, the question is, well, why would you protect someone who has done this to our daughters? Why? Because that's the way you live. because you don't believe in any standards of sexual morality. You don't even take that seriously. I mean, could there be any other? That's one of the explanations. Obviously, they also want to send the message. We don't care what you do. If you're an illegal alien, we're going to protect you. Just make sure that you protect us and keep us in power when the time comes, because we're going to make sure you can vote legally or illegally. And we're going to make sure that you can, you get all the little bennies we have for you. All you've got to do is stick with us, support us, and keep us in power. Maybe that's why Abigail Spinberger and the Democrats are trying to raise an additional $7 billion in taxes in order to take care of their new constituency, the illegal alien invasion. 888-589-8840 is the number. Let's come to your calls. We've got Dwight in Texas. Dwight, welcome. Dwight, you're garbled. Either call back or stand by, okay? Because I couldn't understand a word you were saying. Sorry about that, Dwight. Let's go to David in Florida. David, welcome.
Yeah, thank you. You know, you guys get on the radio and you just stir up a bee's nest. I tell you what, you get it swarming. But what I call for is this. We've become lazy. We've become lazy in our successes. And we're being attacked, and we don't want to realize it and accept the fact that we are invincible, and we're not. And I figure, I look at it this way, a Trojan horse has been planted in the middle of this country, and we're ignoring the horse, and it's going to open up on us, and it's going to eat us alive. And we've got to be vigilant, we've got to be watching on the wall, we've got to be praying that God will protect us. It was in Deuteronomy 7 that God will expose those that are our enemy. And we've got to take a stand because enough is enough, America. Enough is enough, fellow believers. If you're a believer in Christ, prove it.
Thank you for the call, David. Wow. And look, folks, David got emotional there, and I understand it because we love this country, and it's we're watching people who seem to hate it eroding it from within, and it's painful to watch. But we're not just going to stand by and watch it happen, David. We're going to fight every step of the way. And you are absolutely right. We have got to stand up. God is on our side because we are on his side. And we're going to prevail. I'm absolutely confident of that. Let's go to Jeff in Arkansas. Jeff, welcome.
Hey, how's it going?
Great, Jeff. How are you?
I'm originally from Southern California. And I ended up moving to Winchester, Virginia. You might be familiar with it.
I am.
And, and I was there to help my cousin with his aunt who was dying. And I loved Virginia, what I'd seen of it already. But once I got there and I saw the administrative state, it was impossible to deal with. It took me 2 years to get a driver's license.
Wow.
And the... You know, it was right at the beginning of COVID in 2020, and I even talked to policemen. I said, you know, I can't get into the DMV because of all the appointments, and they had a lot of, the lines were around the building, and I, you know, to get in and get anything done, and they said, you know, don't worry about it. It's, you know, once this COVID thing's over, you know, you'll be able to get what you need, and it took me 2 years to get a driver's license. And in the meantime, I actually got popped for having an expired license from California and, you know, had to pay the fines and all this mm-hmm. other stuff. And I just, and then I had bought property there and I could not believe all the hassle they put me through with FEMA and how you drill a well and, you know, this, that, and the other thing. And I probably sank about $80,000 into... getting this property up to speed.
Hey, Jeff, listen, thank you for the call. We're glad to have you here in Virginia. Don't give up on us. But look, what you're pointing out, Jeff, is government has a way of morphing into something that exists for its own sake rather than existing to serve the people. And that's what the Founding Fathers understood, and that's why they believed in limited and enumerated powers and limiting the power of government in general. I mean, because what you just described is exactly what will tend to happen once government becomes sort of its own master. It's not supposed to be its own master. We are its master. They think we work for them. No, they work for us. And we're going to get that straightened out here in Virginia again, Jeff, somehow, some way. All right, let's go to Scott in Mississippi. Scott, welcome.
Good morning, Bishop. Pray for Cuba. They're in a lot of hurt right now, and there's a lot of emergency situations that we need to be praying and fasting about. Amen. I don't know if there's one bigger than those 11 million people that are in harm's way, and I've not heard anything about the Red Cross or anybody getting in to help those people, but it's going to be desperate, dire. It's already been going the better part of a week with no power, no fuel, it's hard. They can get fuel. This thing, it's just amazing. I wanted to point out something a while ago. You made the comment you couldn't think of anything that our president had said he would do that he hadn't done. And unfortunately, he's betrayed the trust of pro-life and given up his legacy as being a pro-life president altogether if he doesn't get the FDA to begin a study, to end a study, and to get methotrexate and any other generics after that off the market that are causing these babies to be murdered by the millions. And we got to be praying about this, because this is a drastic deal of the devil, and you and I both know that.
I agree with you, Scott. Let me ask you, has he said that he is not going to try to do anything about that, or is he just not so far not commented on it? Because I'm not familiar with anything he said about chemical abortions.
There's no evidence that the FDA has even begun the study, and that's what he promised that would happen, is that study would be done, an in-depth study. And you and I both know what the results of that study are going to be, given when it's done.
Okay. All right, Scott, thank you for the call. Okay, well, there may be, you just pointed out one thing that hasn't yet been done. If the president said he's going to do that, though, he does have a pretty busy agenda, but you are absolutely right. This issue should be at the very top of his agenda, because if you don't get the life issue right, you don't get anything else right. I'm confident if he said that, and even if he didn't, somebody points that out to him, we're going to see action. So, but you're right. Let's be praying about that. The number is 888-589-8840. We still got a few minutes left, and we still got some lines open. 888-589-8840 is the number. Let's go to Tim in North Carolina. Tim, welcome.
Thank you, Bishop Jackson. I always enjoy listening to you. I've been listening to you over the years and your podcast sometimes as well. I just trust you about things. I have something that's been on my mind because it's in my family somewhat. And it's just, I think there's a movement going on among young people, you know, in their 20s and 30s. They're listening to a lot of Candace Owens, Tucker Carlson, and it's having an impact on them about how they view, you know, like this war and, you know, all the other issues with Israel, even to the point of saying things like Israel is the Satan and things like that. And it really bothers me, because I've always agreed with your opinion and the opinions of others like Jenna Ellis and Jeff Shreve and so many others there at AFR. And it's really concerned me that it's going to affect midterms, because I see a lot of these young people now are kind of like turning. They're just so opposed to war. And they're even saying boomers believe in war. I don't believe. I'm older. I don't want war, but sometimes it might be necessary. It's just, it's concerning. And I know you're going to have a summit and a strategy and all that's going to be a great thing. I didn't know there's a strategy for something like this, because this is what I see, because it's in my family.
Tim, we'll be praying for you, and thank you for pointing this out, because you are right. That is a pernicious influence. While we're hearing a lot of good stuff from Turning Point USA, a lot of good stuff about the rise of revival among young people happening on college campuses and whatnot, you're right. We have got this little imp running around, sadly, through Tucker Carlson, who I really used to like. Candace Owens, who I haven't talked to her now in years, but I mean, I knew Candace and we spent time together, and you know, I spoke at her Blexit events and all of that. It's really sad that they've gone off the rails that way, but you're absolutely right. We've got to stop them. And again, what we mean by stop them, we've got to put the truth out there, and we've got to be willing to denounce these folks' views and make it clear. You know, sometimes people become celebrities and they almost become untouchable, and you know, you don't want to criticize them, but when they're wrong, they're wrong. People used to say, you ought to have Candace Owens on your program. And I would say, you know, I am not convinced that Candace is a Christian. And I said this before any of this broke. I'm not convinced. And I don't feel comfortable having her on a Christian venue because she supports same-sex marriage. And I'm told she might have changed her mind on that. But so there have always been some little questions in the back of my mind, although I liked her and felt she was, you know, a good, strong conservative. I also felt that the root and grounding of her conservatism was not necessarily in faith in Jesus Christ. And I think that's being proved out. Thanks for the call, Tim. Let's see. Let's go to Tevia in Texas. Tevia, welcome.
Hi. Good morning, Bishop E.W. Jackson. My question is, you mentioned that there is a law passed in Virginia in other few states, right? That the state law surpasses the federal law regarding the Electoral College. And right. I just wanted to know, how is that possible? Because I thought the federal would surpass the state law.
Well, Tevia, look, I've got the same question. I don't see how this can possibly pass constitutional muster, but it hasn't been tested yet. See, because they haven't used it. But they're building up the number of states that they've got in line waiting to use it. So when the right time comes and the election, the popular vote goes their way, but the Electoral College goes differently, for them to use that as a trigger to say, now we can reverse the outcome of this election. I mean, you're right. See, once again, but this stuff is truly dangerous. I mean, truly dangerous. The American people vote for someone by the process that the founding fathers set forth in the Constitution, and you get a bunch of leftist states saying, well, you know what? We're going to turn that around by redirecting even what our own states' people have voted for, and we're going to vote with the, we're going to give these electoral votes to whoever voted, to whatever the popular vote dictates. This stuff is truly dangerous, and I don't think constitutionally it can pass muster, but we'll have to have it tested. Thank you for the call, Tevia. Let's go to Lee in Virginia. Lee, welcome.
Yes, right fast, Bishop Jackson. The best and fastest way to straighten out the state of Virginia is to vote those four counties that border Washington, D.C., out of the state of Virginia and put them in the District of Columbia. They all work for the government. They vote Democrat to keep their jobs, and they do not represent none of Southern West Virginia. We need to get them out of Virginia and put them in the District of Columbia.
Thank you for the call, Lee. Oh, how I wish it were that simple. Hey, folks, it's been great to be with you as always. Stand up, step up, speak up, and refuse to back up. Because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.